Now, what you've just been reading there is actually you've been reading somebody else's letter. Now, it's a bit rude to read other people's letters, isn't it? So you should all be ashamed. Well, no, actually, this is given to us by God so that we can learn. But you can learn a lot about people from letters. And we're going to see what we're going to learn about Timothy here. And we're going to see that what happened to Timothy is also to happen to those who are going to be baptized today. And that's why they're being baptized. So we're going to learn a bit about it. But just to show you how much we can learn from a letter, I've got a letter here, which I've written to my son. Okay, and what I'm going to do, we're going to have a little competition here. You have to excuse me, I'm new here, so I can do what I like, and no one can tell me I've done it wrong. But anyway, right, what we're going to do, we're going to have a little bit of a competition. I don't know if you're used to doing this here, but what we're going to do, we're going to divide you along the middle. There's a natural divide somewhere there. There's definitely a natural divide here. Say hello to the people opposite you. You're now on opposing teams, okay? So we've got opposing teams here. And if you want something written on a board, you don't do it yourself, especially if you're a computer scientist, because I can't write to save my life. So you ask a teacher. Karen, well done. Volunteer to come up here. By the way, those of you who are in the church will get to know that I do kind of just pounce on people a little bit. Okay, so we've got two teams. So I'm going to read the letter, okay? And as you find out more things about my son, okay, put your hand up. And if Karen sees your hand up, it doesn't matter whether you're old or young. You can all be involved in this together. It's a family service, okay? We're going to then see what you've learned about my son, okay? And those of you who know my family, a few of you already, you're not allowed to answer, okay? Just so you can't do it. Okay, so here we go. Here is the letter that I have written. It starts, "Dear Aaron, how are things?" We've got a hand already. Go on. His name is Aaron. That's correct. That's brilliant. Okay, so we've got the first thing. His name is Aaron. Okay. So you can write down.
I offend him and spell it wrong, do I?
This is a teacher. She wants to get her spellings right. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't ask teachers after all. Okay. So his name's Aaron. Okay, we've got that. How are things in Truro? Is it nice and sunny there too? We've got some hands. Go on, Karen. Who's up first? He's living in Truro. Very good. He lives in Truro. That's right. So it's brilliant. He lives way down in Truro. Oh, look at this. Right, lives in Truro. Is it nice and sunny there too? Hopefully the weather is good enough to get to the beach again. Ooh. That was very fast from the front here. I was instant. There is a beach there. There's something more than being a beach there, though. There's something more about that. Go on. Oh, we've got another one. Yeah, he's been to the beach, but he likes going to the beach is the bottom answer. Yeah, so I don't know what you're going to say, but just put beach down. That'll do. Okay, he likes going to the beach. Actually, it's not true. His wife likes going to the beach, but there we are. let's get this true. Okay, and how is Emily? Okay, someone over there. Not Kaz, though. You've answered already, Kaz. Okay, go on. He's married his wife, brilliant. He's married his wife's Emily, okay? It's two all, folks. We're getting towards the end of the letter. This is getting close, okay? So I shall... It seems amazing that it's almost a year since your wedding. Okay, we're definitely down here at the front. Okay, so there's two things there. Okay, there's two different things. I'll give you an answer for one. So you got wedding, didn't you? What was the other thing? How long has he been married for? Yes? A year, brilliant. Okay, so... 1 year. Actually, we'll put a wedding on that one then, because we've got one either side, so we'll get one all. Okay. I hope you aren't too tired from working in Truro Hospital. Ooh, there's definitely some hands there. We'll go right to the back, Wendy. He works at Truro Hospital. Well done. Okay. See, it's not difficult, this, is it, really? Okay, works at Truro Hospital. Okay. It must be tough being a doctor. I don't know. Did you see? No. Okay, we'll try here.
Go at the front.
He's a doctor. What's the scores? Okay, it's 4-4. We got wedding in there, did we? That's okay. That is 4-4. This is not good. I haven't got any more. Anyway, lots of love, Dad. There's one last fact. Yeah, I'm his dad. Okay, we'll give you that one. Way, you won! Brilliant. Okay, so we can find out so much from these letters. I'm going to put this back to one side so I don't crash into it in a moment. Thank you ever so much. We can find out so much from letters. And actually, this letter we just read, If you've got your Bibles open, grab hold of your Bibles. I'm going to grab hold of mine. And you can see there's a lot we can learn. There's loads of things you can learn about Timothy. For example, if you look in this passage here, you find out in... trouble is I don't have my glasses on. In verse 8, you see that Timothy is a bit ashamed of things. He's a bit ashamed of being a Christian. And so Paul says, don't be ashamed. We discover, actually, if you look in verse 7, that he talks about a spirit of timidity. So Timothy is probably kind of a bit of a scaredy cat. And actually, if you look in the other letter written to Timothy, 1 Timothy, you discover that Timothy there, Paul says to him, you've got to keep on taking some wine because you keep actually getting ill all the time. So he's kind of a sickly child. Okay, and if you look elsewhere, you discover he's quite young, and we can learn lots and lots of things about Timothy. But actually, Timothy was an amazing person, and we're looking at these people as we go through these weeks in the Bible. Timothy's the first, and we're going to look at lots of different people through the Bible in the next few weeks and see what God does through them. And Timothy, he was a young man. He was probably a sickly man. He was afraid, a scared man. And yet, God used him in amazing ways. He was an elder in the church. He led one of the biggest churches that was there in those days. And he did amazing things. And so God worked in amazing ways through Timothy. So I don't know how you feel this morning. I don't know how you came this morning. But God is able to do amazing things, even if you are the most timid, most scared person, even the most ill person in this place. God can use you for his glory. So that's a wonderful thing to remember. But we discover lots of things from this letter. We see, for example, in first verse 1, here's a test. Who's written the letter? Verse 1, have a look in verse 1. Who's written the letter? Yes. No, I didn't. Well, not I wrote that letter, but who's written this letter? That's a good answer. Who's written this letter? Paul, brilliant. Okay, Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and he's a really important man in the Bible. You'll read more about him as you go along. It's written to Timothy. And who is Timothy? Who does Paul say Timothy is in verse 2? Who does Paul say Timothy is? Do you know? His dear son. Actually, that's not quite true. There's a lie in the Bible. Well, no, actually, there's not a lie in the Bible. But it's not quite true because Timothy, you see, Paul wasn't married and Paul didn't have any children. But Paul met Timothy when Timothy was a young man, and Paul decided to take Timothy with him. And Timothy traveled with Paul. And Timothy was a new Christian. And Paul taught Timothy and showed Timothy how to do things and encouraged Timothy and helped Timothy when he was sick. And so Paul became like a father to Timothy. Can I just say as an aside here to all the adults here this morning that God calls each one of us to be spiritual parents. You should be being spiritual parents to other people. There'll be those who are younger than you. And so it talks about the older women teaching the younger women, the older men teaching the younger men. And so can I challenge you, who is your spiritual child? Who are you helping in the gospel? Who are you helping to grow in Christ? And so it talked about spiritual parents, and we can read more about that in Titus as well. So we learn a lot about Timothy in here. He's fearful, he's sickly, lots of different things. But there's three things I want you to see this morning, okay? And the first of this is actually in verse 5. So you have a look in verse 5 with me. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So the first thing is that Timothy had faith. Now I'm going to need three volunteers eventually, but I need one volunteer now who's got strong arms, because you're going to be here for a little while. Okay, I need a volunteer with strong arms. Either that or I'll pick somebody. So here. So like, oh, come on. Okay, brilliant. Now I need to know your name because I don't know the names of anybody here. Pixie, brilliant. That's a fantastic name. Come over here. Okay, so you're my first one. Now, this is a bit difficult, but so you can rest in between times, but I want you to point up, okay? Okay, so you're going to be my illustration. These are my illustrations because I'm not up there. I don't have a board. Okay, so you're going to point up, okay? You can stay there. Are you okay staying there, pointing up? Oh, brilliant, okay. But I'll let you put your hand down for the moment because otherwise your hand will get sore and parents will tell me off, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Okay, so faith, okay? Faith. Timothy believed in Jesus. Now, this is the very first thing. Why are people being baptized this morning? Well, because they have believed in Jesus. That's the first thing. They've believed in Jesus. Now, you can believe in lots of things. I had to hide this for a good reason. You can believe in lots of things. Here's what I believe. I believe that Bath Rugby Club is the best rugby club in the world. Okay. how to be instantly hated in Gloucester, I know. but that's because I lived in Bath for 20 years, and they were the first big rugby team I came across, and I was from Ireland. I support Ireland and England-ish. Anyway, but I really support Bath, so I'm really sorry about that, but I believe it. Now, just because I believe it doesn't make it right, is that correct? Yeah, a resounding amen. Okay. It doesn't make it right. And you can believe anything, can't you? You can believe what you like, and it doesn't make it right. And so believing is kind of not necessarily that important. But actually, there are some things it is so important for. My brother used to teach climbing, and he would teach how people climb up cliffs and so on. And he one day, there was a girl, there was a school party came along, and he was teaching them to climb, and they climbed up the cliff, and this girl was climbing up the cliff, and they did it one at a time, and she got about halfway up, and she did the thing you shouldn't do. Now, there are a few things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't let go, obviously, okay, when you're climbing, so it's not that. But there is one thing you shouldn't do. Yes, go on. Look down. Brilliant. She looked down, and she was so high. She, oh, my word, how high am I? She looked down, and she froze to the cliff face. She grabbed hard on it, and she wouldn't move. She wouldn't go up. She wouldn't go down. There was nothing could be done. And so my brother, he climbed up this cliff face and with an extra set of ropes, and he went up, and he attached his harness to her harness and said, "Now, do you trust me? You've got to do what I tell you. If you're going to be rescued from here, you've got to let go." No, how can you let go of a cliff when you're so high up? He said, "I've got you, but you've got to let go. Do you believe me? Do you trust me?" Well, she didn't. She just held even tighter. Her knuckles got whiter. And so eventually he had to talk to her for ages until eventually, well, she got tired and she let go. And of course, he caught her and took her down. But you see, it was really, really important that she believed him, because she wasn't going to be rescued if she hadn't believed him. Now, every one of us shows faith. Okay, you are showing faith now. You are showing faith in the chair you're sitting on. Particularly if you're more rotund than others, let's say. You're showing faith in it because you have actually abandoned trust in your legs, and you've put trust in the chair, and you're trusting the chair to hold you up. And we all show faith in lots of things, and we believe in lots of things, but it's really important that we believe in the most important things, the things which are going to rescue us, the thing which is going to rescue us. You know, the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all rebels. We've all decided that's what sin means. We decided that instead of going God's way, we're going to go our own way. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to do what we think is best, and we can look at it back in our lives. We can see all those things we've done wrong, the lies that we've said, the times where we've actually kind of not told those truths so we can get out of difficult situations, the times when we have really been angry at other people and shouted at them when we shouldn't have been angry, and we've been jealous of other people, and all those things, they crowd up in our lives, and those are the times when we have done the very things that God has told us not to do. And they're called sin. And God is perfect, and God can't have sin in his presence. He can't have us in his presence. And how can we possibly go to be with God when we die? How can we possibly be rescued? You see, we've turned away from God. But you see, faith is about this. Faith is about two things. It's about turning from going my own way and turning to trust in God. So when you sit in your seat, the reason you've got faith in that seat is you've turned from trusting your legs to support you to trusting in the seat to support you. You can't stand and sit. Well, you can try, but you can't stand and sit at the same time. You've got to turn from one way and turn to another. And faith is like that. You've got to get rid of your trust in your knowing your own way and your own things you do, and you've got to trust in God. And that's what Timothy did. Timothy had come to a point where he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God so loved you that he sent his dear son Jesus. Why did he do that? Because he knows how rotten we are, how bad we are inside, and we can't do anything about it. And no matter how hard we try or how much we do, it doesn't get rid of the stain of sin. And so God sent his own dear son Jesus, and Jesus lived the perfect life. The Bible says he was tempted just like we are, but he never sins. And so he became the one who was able to take my sin and your sin. And on the cross, when Jesus was put on the cross, here's what happened. God took the sin that's on me, and he put it on Jesus. And on that cross, God punished Jesus. The punishment that I deserve for the wrong that I've done. He punished Jesus on that cross for 3 hours while it was dark. And he bore all the punishment for my sin. Now, if I trust in him, where is the sin? Is it on me? No, it's not. It's on Jesus. But the wonderful thing, because Jesus paid for it all, it's gone. It's gone. Now, you can believe that, or you can have faith in Jesus. That is, you can trust him. You can turn from going my own way and doing my own things, and you can turn, yes, Jesus, I do believe that you died for me. I know that you took my sin. I know that you took the punishment, and I want to have faith in you. I want to trust you, but more than that, I want to give you my whole life. I want to live for you. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Now, it's a really important thing here, because it says that Timothy had faith, but also so did his mother, and so did his grandmother. Now, you might have mums and dads who are Christians who have faith. You might have mums and dads who are really religious. But can I say, it doesn't matter what your mum and dad is. This is about your sin. It's between you and God. It's about the wrong things that you have done. And just because you're born into a family where your parents are Christians, or your parents are very religious, does not make you a Christian. If you were born in a garage, you would be not a car, but a human. If you're born in McDonald's, you're not going to be a hamburger, are you? But you're going to be a human. And so you can't be, just because you're born in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to come to that point in your life where you say, Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much that you came to take my sin, take all the punishment for it, and to die for me. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me for all my sin, and let me follow you the rest of my life. That's how we, so here, our first sign is what? What do you have to do? Pointing upwards. Right, okay, faith. So it's about me and God. It's faith, okay? Now, the second thing we learn, it's a bit slightly more obscure. In verse 6, it says, fan into flame the gift of God that was in you through the laying on of hands. Now, we don't really know what that was about. We think maybe Tim was a preacher, so maybe the elders came round him and prayed for him and laid their hands on him. If you were here last week, people did that for me last week. And he got the gift of being able to preach. We don't know what that's about. But the one thing I do know is that what God does when you become a Christian is he changes you, he transforms you. And what he does is he puts his spirit inside you. So I need my second volunteer. Come on, come on. Lucy. Brilliant, Lucy. Come on up here. Okay. So we're pointing up, faith. You don't have to be there much longer. It's okay. Pointing in. Okay. So this is a brilliant thing. What happens is it's not just my sins are forgiven, but the wonderful thing is the Bible tells me that Jesus comes and he sends his spirit and his spirit lives inside my life and he starts to change me, he starts to transform me and everything I did. And Timothy, you see, Timothy, his mum was a Christian and his grandmother was a Christian, hadn't been Christian so long, but he was timid and he couldn't really, he wasn't very healthy and he was quite afraid and he was ashamed. But the wonderful thing is God used him because God put his spirit inside Timothy and enabled Timothy to be bold for God. God put his spirit inside Timothy and enabled Timothy to be strong for God. God put his spirit inside Timothy and enabled Timothy to change, to be more like Jesus. And when you become a Christian, it is not just about what you believe. It's about coming into relationship with God. We talk about having Jesus within us. And so back in verse 5, it talks about the faith that is in you and Jesus living inside you. Now, we have three people who are going to be baptized today, there's Zach and there's David and there's Karen. And those who know them, okay, I would love to, shall I just ask the question? I don't know. Okay, have you seen a change in them? Have you seen them change? There's a great sign. Good, thank you, amen for that. Okay. Yes, because, you know, I can't, we had a letter to Aaron before. His wife is called, don't you remember? It's on there. Emily, yes, right. Emily became a Christian about 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, she became a Christian. And last year, she got married. And when they were getting married, we got to know her parents really well. And her mother, called Sarah, she came up to me just after they were married and said, Something has happened to Emily over this year, last year. She is a totally different person. Something has changed her, and I've never seen anything like that before. I want to know what has happened to Emily. And so I sat and talked with Sarah for a while, and Sarah started coming along to church and hearing more and meeting other people who have been changed by Jesus. And you see, that's what Jesus does. His Spirit comes and lives inside you. So we have faith in him. His Spirit lives inside you, and he transforms you. And so the whole point is that we are, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are in relationship with God. We know him as a friend. We can talk to him in prayer. He leads us every single day. He starts to change and transforms us, and he does amazing things through us. Being a Christian is not about religion. Being a Christian is coming to know the living God and to know him personally. And that's the most amazing thing. So first thing is faith. Second thing is spirit or relationship. And the third thing we've got to see today is from verse 12. And this is Paul saying, and Paul is reflecting what Timothy believes as well. It says that, yet I am not ashamed because I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. Summer holidays is coming. Who's booked a summer holiday? Okay. Are you definitely going on a summer holiday? Who can say for definite they're going on a summer holiday? Okay. Well, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? Okay. Unless you're reliant on a car or an aeroplane or an airport and not having strikes or an air traffic controllers, or like my daughter who booked a holiday and then the week before she was due to go was looking for her passport and discovered that she had lost her passport and there's no way she's going to... You'd like to think so. We think that we're certain about the future. You know, these days, we think that we're certain about where we're going, don't we? If only I'm good enough, I'll go to heaven. But the Bible tells us that isn't the case. The only way we can go to be with God when we die, the only way that we have any certainty about the future is if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because you see, he rose from the dead. He demonstrated his victory over death so that we also will rise with him. There's certainty for the future. There's certainty for the future. And one day, when life is over, there is a certain hope, a future that is going to come for each one of us who trust in Jesus. And so the certainty, so I need my last person here, last volunteer. It's going to be up for about 2 seconds. Come up here then. Okay. Okay, so here we are. Okay, so we start with faith, trusting in God. And when we do that, what happens? Jesus puts his Spirit inside our lives. And so his Spirit comes and lives with us, and we're transformed and changed. And because of all of that, because we know that we've trusted in Jesus, because we can see Jesus working in our lives, we know what we've believed, and we can be certain of the future. So you've got a point ahead. Okay, so we're certain of the future. And this is what we have in Jesus. And Zach and David and Karen are coming in a moment to tell you about how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing happened to them. They trusted in Jesus. The Spirit came to live within them and is changing them. And they know for a certainty that they're going to be with him one day. Now, can I ask you, do you know that for yourself? Have you come to believe Jesus? You could be young. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 10 years old. But you still need to come to know Jesus as your Savior. Or you could be old. The oldest person that I've baptized was 84 years old. She came to know the Lord in her 84th year. She's baptized in her 84th year, 93 now, 91 now, and she's rejoicing in the Lord. And she's just she's in hospital, and she's looking forward to being with Jesus. And so all of us, every single one of us here, need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you come to know him as your Savior? If you haven't, please talk to me or to Tim or to one of the leaders here or somebody who bought you maybe and ask about how you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, how you can know him live within you and know certainty for the future.